Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Lingham guides us through the New Testament book of Romans. Now to Pastor Chris.
Romans chapter 7 today. Have you ever tried hard, and I mean really hard, to do something right, and the whole time you're doing it the wrong way? As a kid, I remember trying to loosen a bolt on my bike. For about 20 minutes, I went at it. I stripped the edges, I whacked it with a wrench in frustration, and the whole time I was tightening it. Chapter 7 is about trying to do the right thing the wrong way. So many Christians try to be good by following rules, and it's frustrating. And the harder you try, the worse you make it. The question of chapters 6 through 8 is how to be good and how to stop sinning. It's one thing to be forgiven for sin. It's quite another to quit doing it. Every religion has a set of rules, of rights and wrongs, and rituals, all trying to be good, trying to keep away from bad. But can they truly change you? Hudson Taylor, on his first missionary journey to inland China in 1854, tells the story of a visit to a Buddhist monastery. The Chinese monks, in their traditional yellow robes, encouraged him to visit the local holy man. Taylor obliged, and he was taken to a wall with a small opening the size of a hand. There was a man inside. The priest explained that the holy man had hoped to keep himself from the evils of the world by walling himself in. He hoped that he would find complete holiness and salvation. Visitors brought food, but what a life! And I know most of us don't go that far, but it is a good picture of how religion tries to work. You either cover yourself up or tie yourself down, or you cover up anyone else who might tempt you. But all walled in, you're alone. And you still have that same sinful heart. And Christians can try to do the same thing. In chapter 6, Paul introduced the reign of grace. Slave to sin no longer, grace rules in your life now. Dead to sin and alive to Christ. And under this grace, you are no longer under the law. But for a lot of people, letting go of law is a little too scary, especially if you grew up religious. I mean, we got to have rules, right? I want to be good. You know, follow the rules, God's rules. So in chapter 7, Paul walks us down that path, the path of a Christian trying to be good enough, and it is a road bound for frustration. In verse 1, Paul explains that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. The key word there is authority. Who's in charge? Paul has to convince us that we are not under God's law, but under grace. Paul's speaking to the religious, the people who know the law. If you grew up with it, it's hard to let go. But what if you die? Does it still have authority then? So Paul makes an analogy in verse 2. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. See, our allegiance to law is like a marriage. It's unbreakable. Till death do us part. So, we died. Verse 4. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So, again, the key is dying. You died with Jesus. You died to sin, and you died to the law. It doesn't work unless you die. It's not 12 steps, it's death. In order to belong to Jesus, you have to die to the law. You can't be married to both. In verse 5, Paul reminds us of who we were before Jesus. We were in the flesh, the natural man. We had body and soul, but the spirit was dead, unsaved, ruled by the flesh and a slave to sin. But it did not go well for us. Verse 6, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that... Now pay attention, this is the whole thing. So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So there's a new way and an old way. The new way, the right way, is of the Spirit. Chapter 8 will show us the new way, and it is the most amazing chapter. But first, Paul shows us what happens when a Christian tries to make it work the old way, by the law, new wine and old wineskins. First, in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. See, the legalist inside us says, hey, why are you throwing out the law? The law's not bad, is it? No. See, what the law does is show me that I'm bad. That was chapters 1 through 3. Paul explains how it works, and this is totally my story. Before I started reading the Bible, I thought I was a really good person. Better than most people, anyway. I was proud of it. Then I started in the Bible, and I found out that pride was a sin. But finding out it's a sin doesn't take away the sin. In fact, it can make it worse. See, the law says, don't look. And sin says, look at what? The law says, don't open that box. And sin says, well, what's in it? Whatever it is, I think I want it. See, the law is like a scale. It doesn't make you fat. It just tells you when you are fat. Or for me, a watch. It doesn't make me late. It just tells me that I am late. A lot. The scale is good. The watch is good. And the law is good. But I am not. The law was necessary to convince me that I am bad. The law is the diagnostic, but it is not the cure. You don't cure cancer with a biopsy. Then Paul delivers a powerful picture of what it's like to try to be good, to try to be a Christian by rules and law. Verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. That is the frustration of trying to do the right thing the wrong way. And so many Christians are stuck in it, trying to be good and always screwing up. 16. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Paul goes on to explain that it's like sin is alive in him. There's no good in there. If there was good inside me, I would be doing good. But I'm not. Remember, this is the Christian trying to be good by rules on his own strength. In verse 18, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. This is the war within. It happens inside every Christian who tries to be good in the power of the flesh. It's a war between the good intentions of your mind and the evil desires of your flesh. And the flesh always wins in the end. Verse 23, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! And here, frustration reaches desperation, the worst sort of misery. The realization that the problem is me. I am a wretch. I'm the worst sort of hypocrite, and I can't stop it. I cannot save myself. And finally, in desperation, Paul asks the question, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who will save me? Not what, but who? I need a savior. Save me from my own body, from this body of death. Verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is the answer. Jesus, only Jesus can deliver this wretch from this body of death. But still, how do you live it out? How do you stop sinning? Chapter 8. I can't hardly wait for chapter 8.
Thanks for joining us for today's quick audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.